Okay, well, let's turn again to Joshua. Last week we went through chapter 2. We work our way backwards to the beginning of Joshua and then on to Deuteronomy. But again, the kind of conclusion to chapter 2 was after the spies went in and they were hid by Rahab. And she told them all that, all the news that was going on in Jericho, and how the people were afraid. We come to the last verse there, in chapter 2. It says, and the spies, when they returned, they said to Joshua, "Truly, the Lord hath delivered us." Hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So, though we are, focused on what's happening with Israel, their lives, their conquests, their victories, their spiritual growth, the power of God with them, the witness of God from them to the world around them, and the witness of others that have had contact with them has filled the land. This news has literally filled the land, and the people, the inhabitants of the land, are afraid. They faint because this mass of people for whom God parted the Red Sea, and later they were, as we already studied, but parted the Jordan. Their hearts were afraid. Their hearts fainted within them. Again, comparing that to the church. As we are delivered from Egypt, delivered from the world, redeemed by the blood, we pass out of the world, the Red Sea parting. We're no longer in bondage, and the armies of the world, the forces of the world, are utterly destroyed and defeated. I think of this, just because you see it on the internet doesn't mean it's true. But this man has done, is watching the video he had done, it's a program on locating where Israel crossed the Red Sea. And the pillars that Solomon set up, the one's still standing and the base of the other one's still there. And they show, he showed this area along the coastline there. He said this is where the pillar of fire stood, because out of nowhere, you have normal rocks and things around, but out of nowhere, all of a sudden, there's this large area along the beach where all the sand and things have been fused by a great heat. It's like almost like a glass, you think of an epoxy floor coating. And he said you go down in the sea and there's coral reefs that are there in the middle, the coral doesn't grow on sand, it has to grow on something. And you can see chariot wheels with gold rims, and you can see helmets. And but why that hasn't been excavated, the forces of the people that the countries around there may not allow it. So there might be all sorts of evidence, but so the world knew them. And the world knows us. The world knows our message. And when we tell people that we have been delivered from the power of sin and death, much as when the man was lowered down through the ceiling when Jesus was speaking and teaching, the house was so crowded, and they took the ceiling tiles off and lowered the man down. And Jesus commended them for their faith and said, "My son, thy sins be forgiven thee." First thing Jesus did was forgive his sins, which could not be seen. But then his power of forgiveness was challenged, they said, what's easier? To forgive sins or to heal the sick? And he said, that you might know that I have power to forgive sin. He said, men, you rise up, take up your bed, and walk. Leave. Go. You're free. And he did it. When we have testimonies like that in our own lives, people may scoff at it. People may try to explain it away. They might challenge it. They might question your integrity, your character. They might, who knows what? Who knows what they might do to minimize the impact, and shield themselves from that truth and reality. But in their heart of hearts, there's a witness of the Spirit. And there's this witness that, what if Christians are right? And they have I believe, the witness of the Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit worked in my life and worked in other lives. Is, you kind of knew a long time ahead of time that God was at work in your life, but you didn't really quite understand it. God's at work in the hearts of the people of Canaan. They were already defeated, and Israel hadn't entered yet. Their souls, their spirits were fainting. They tried to put up the appearance of fights and battles. And later, as they learned and watched the people of Israel, they found weak spots, not all the inheritance taken. But the world and the devil knows it's already defeated. As Christians move into their inheritance, as they move into areas of life in this world, and the power of God's love in Christ is manifest and changes things, little things, bit by bit. And that's why there's such a push against an anti-Christian push in so many of these current cultural changes and things that people are promoting. There's a fear, and they found a weak spot in the church. They found a weak spot among Christians, that they're giving into this stuff. And then when somebody stands up against it, they, like Steve used the word gaslight, they ban you from some speaking or performing. I thought this interesting, I'm not going to remember his name right now. He's a renowned atheist, and the world really looked to him as being, a man of science. Oh, what's his name? Richard Hawkins. Was he the one in the wheelchair? This is someone else. Something close to that name. Dawkins, or... Anyway... He was being interviewed on, I don't remember what it was like, it wasn't like Fox News or anything like that, but he was being interviewed, he came out and he says, all this stuff going on, he says, he's a biologist. I mean, that's primarily what he does, he says, I really don't care what they're saying. Biologically speaking, there are only two sexes. There are male and female. And now he's being trashed. He was their hero because he's an atheist, but now he's being trashed because he's speaking out, answering simple questions. He's not making a campaign out of it. He was interviewed, he asked this question, he answered it with all his great reputation and knowledge, and I'm not questioning that whatsoever, but he went from like I say, from hero to zero, in nothing flat. So we live in a world, and they're pushing against Christians. As Christians make their stand and enter into the inheritance that God has given us, and move into the work that God has called us to do, knowing that we are doing God's work, knowing that we are doing the things God wants us to be doing, knowing we are where we we are because God has put us there for a reason. We don't need to understand the full thing. We just need to know we are where God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to do. Yeah. Did you search it up? No, that's fine. Okay. I did a quick read on the article, and it's been a few days ago. But yeah, Stephen Hawking. Your original equipment? The original computer. Okay, anyway, so there's Israel. So as we approach that, we finished chapter 2 with that. With this knowledge, the spies have gone in with this knowledge that, I mean, their knees are shaken. They are scared to death. And they are watching us very, very closely. As we talked about, is the two spies went in, but they knew how many went in, they knew where they went in, they knew where they went, and they went right to Rahab's house and said, "Where are these two men that came to you? We know why they've come." The world is watching us extremely closely. And that's good. That's good. Because they're learning about the power and the love of God. They're learning about the salvation of God in Christ. They are seeing the life of God in us functioning in this world. So let's go now, Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1. It's interesting, going back this way, how we're coming right back to just as the Lord led, you know, to what's taking place. Now in verse 1 we read, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, which is up to the north, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, which, so you're talking about the shoreline for the Mediterranean Sea from north to south, shall be your coast. Boy, God's giving away, you know, free land, free real estate, already built up, ready to go. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." We'll pause there. So the Lord informs Moses, or Joshua, of Moses' death. That he was to take that place to lead people over Jordan and into the land, that he was replacing Moses, and that the Lord would exalt him as he did Moses. It says, "This great land and describe the boundaries of it. It's all yours. No one's going to be able to stand before you. They'll be afraid of you. My power will be with you. And you will continue to bring the world around you into a state of awe. He said, be strong three times. Slightly differently each time. Three times. But in verse, let me finish with verse 5 here. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. As they were going to enter that land, it was step by step they were obtaining their inheritance. Wherever you shall place the sole of your foot, as you progress forward, just put your foot out. Just walk into it, and it's yours. Stand for it, and it's yours. Then verse 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear the fathers to give them, unto their fathers to give them. As Mary and I were talking a bit the other day, and I've been thinking about this because it came up, it comes up in current conversation in this day. The two words, equity and equality. And by equity, as I understand it, what people in some of these groups are wanting is equity, in other words, a guaranteed result. So guaranteed equalness, you might say, of outcome. And the Lord is God of equity. Whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. Male, female, black, white, Jew, Gentile, bond, free. There is equity in salvation. The parable Jesus spoke of about those the owner of the field that's having his harvest, and he'd go in and he was hiring people, you know, a penny for a day's work, and he'd go in and find more workers so the harvest would get done. He'd find more and make them the same promise. And even at the last hour, went in and found more people, you know, same pay. There was an equity for working in his harvest. Everybody got the same pay. Of course, the parable goes on to another issue. Some didn't think that was very equitable or equal. But the master honored his word. When it comes to salvation, whosoever believes shall be saved. Period. Same outcome for every believer. But when it comes to what we do with our lives in Christ, there is equality of opportunity, equality in the Lord's calling in our lives. There is equality in the promises of God. But as we will find out, as we were not going to study Joshua, but as they found out, not every tribe went in and put one foot in front of the other and followed these instructions. Some of them thought, well, the Lord's going to fail me. The Lord's forsaken us. He hasn't driven these people out. And they weren't very strong in the face of it, not maybe as courageous. And as Christians, we're called to build with, we have choices. We enter into the promises of God, and if we believe, if we move forward, put one foot in front of the other, if we build with, you know, gold, silver, and precious stones, or we can build with wood, hay, and stubble. Those are all Christians. They're all saved. There's an equity in the salvation. But the degree to which we appropriate the promises of God is dependent upon walking by faith, by laying hold of the promises of God, by believing the promises of God, by standing, as we're talking about on Sunday. We talked about the Church of Philadelphia on Sunday, and unlike really any other group, any other church, they laid hold on the Word of God and they stood by it. They were strong and courageous, though they were small. Though they were small in the eyes of the world around them, they were strong and they were courageous, and they had a crown promised for them. And just hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Standing on those promises, insisting that God is true, insisting that the promises are true. So with Israel entering into the land, he's encouraging the people, or God's encouraging him, and then he in turn encourages the people to be strong. But Joshua, as a leader, be strong and of a good courage, and you, these people will have an inheritance in this land. Then verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So be strong and very courageous, and dare to put your faith in and observe the word of God. That's what Moses did, and look where you are today. Look where he brought you after all these years. This is the path that Moses walked. He sought to obey and follow and embrace the word that God had given him. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Just move forward in the promises of God, and you'll prosper wherever you go. That's like the Church of Philadelphia, the open door that the Lord set before them. The door's open. Embrace the word. Hold to the word. Embrace the truth of God in Christ. Make your stand. Be strong and courageous, and God will prosper you. I'm not talking about things of this world. I spent the last 2 days with people in the hospice and palliative care industries, and you know, there's just simply nothing in this world that we can take with us, or want to take with us, or have any need for. And the things that we focus on as Christians is not a worldly or earthly inheritance, but rather the thing, succeeding in the things of God. And standing by the truth. Finding a home and a comfort, a place of refuge and rest and strength in the Word of God, just like Moses did. Verse 8, the Lord continues, but this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and night and day. Let this be your truth, Joshua. And for we as Christians, let this be your truth. Think about what it says. We give ourselves to meditating and thinking and feeding on and allowing the Word of God to enrich us and to reveal, the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of the Word to us. And we will be strengthened. Do all Christians do that? No. That's part of our inheritance. That's part of our inheritance, to be strong in faith, blessed in the Word of God, knowledgeable in the Word of God. Look how the Galatians were robbed so quickly. Paul said, I marvel that, how quickly you've been led astray, how you've been bewitched and misled by that which is not another gospel. It's not even good news. It's bondage again. Do not let the book of the law depart out of your mouth. Speak what you read, speak what you believe, and let it be your truth. For then, as verse 8 says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. This sort of success takes time. It takes a lifetime. It's a step by step. It's a delayed gratification. I was telling Mary about a video that I saw at the conference. And, just real quickly, it's somebody did this. Some researchers did this experiment, and with little children. And the little clip we saw was of a 4-year-old boy, and they're all given the same opportunity. They had a plate and a big marshmallow on it. And they were all told, this marshmallow is yours. You can have it. You can eat it now if you want to. But if you'll just wait 15 minutes and not eat it, then we will give you another marshmallow, and then you'll have two marshmallows to eat. So they ran this experiment. I don't remember the percentages. But those that were willing to delay their gratification of eating that marshmallow, they followed them into adulthood. And those that learned the benefits of delayed gratification did much better in life. God makes us promises that may not be realized. Most of them aren't going to be realized in this body, in this flesh. You know, I don't expect God to prosper me and have good success and have this be another Bill Gates or somebody like that in the world. That I don't even want. I wouldn't even be interested in doing that. But spiritually, Jesus had John write to the church of Smyrna, the Lord knew their poverty. He says, but you are rich. Spiritually, we can lay up treasures in heaven. We can be blessed. We can inherit promises by simply taking one foot and putting it in front of another into what God has promised us. And as we continue to do that through our lifetime and whatever time we have in the world, increase in blessings. We increase our inheritance. This message for Christians is very applicable to our everyday lives. Look for the Lord. Look to the Lord. And God will bless you. He will bless you. I had the opportunity today, especially, but today especially, see some people that I haven't seen for a few years, and people that could have had kind of a negative impact on the rest of my life. And so it brought back a lot of memories and feelings. And I realized how much, I'm not blaming them, I'm simply saying that God took those very negative and seemingly negative circumstances and has blessed me. How much he freed me from a lot of issues and problems. And they were a bit shocked that to see me, and I was still active and still doing. And hopefully there's a little sense of regret that they had. But God blessed me in their very presence, and they saw, I'm not any great success in the world or anything like that, but they saw that I landed on my feet and kept going. And that's what we have to learn as we walk with the Lord. So in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong. Here it is the third time. Be strong and of good courage. Be strengthened And in, be encouraged. Jesus said the same thing in John 16:33. Or approximately the same thing. Let me read that. John 16:33. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Be strong. I have overcome the world. Be encouraged, word cheer, I think actually means. Be of good courage. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world. I have overthrown the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. There are blessings out there that all you need to do is, you know, you're going to have to face the battles. Because the Lord wants us to learn the power of faith in our lives. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have afflictions. There's going to be testings and trials, and there's going to be, you know, he said, I'm not sending you to Disneyland. I'm not sending you to a birthday party here. You're going into a land and to lay hold of the things that I have blessed you in and with. So be encouraged. I have overcome them already. The people in Canaan were already spiritless. They were fainting in their spirits because they knew Israel was about ready to come in. They had heard their testimony. They had heard their stories. They had people, you know, came from these countries and said, "God just parted the sea and slew the Egyptian army for these people. They can't be stopped. They cannot be stopped." Be strong in that truth. Be of good courage. Be encouraged in that truth. Let's go on then to verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host," as we've covered before, "and command the people, prepare your victuals, your goods, your supplies, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, "Remember the Lord, the word which the Lord, the Moses, your, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying that the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle, you shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor." See, they got to leave their goods behind so they could carry weapons. As we read in the previous chapter, they went in with 40,000 troops, 40,000 men armed for war, crossed the Jordan first, and entered into the land of Canaan. Because their wives and children were behind, stayed behind on the east side of Jordan. Their belongings over there. They cleared the way for the rest of Israel, for those men, to carry in their children, their wives, their goods, their wagons, their livestock, all that sort of thing. They were busy bringing in their stuff. But here's 40,000 men dressed for war, set up for war, that went in first. So he's reminded them again of this, which we've already covered. "Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest," in verse 15, "as he hath given you," they already rested in their inheritance, "and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return to your land of your possession and enjoy it." And enjoy it. I like that. Here's your inheritance. Enjoy it. What a message for Christians today. As we lay hold of the promises of God, the things that God has promised us, as we take victories in Christ, enjoy it. You don't gloat in it. We don't brag in it. We don't flaunt it. We give God thanks for it. Enjoy it. Our lives in Christ, I truly feel, are meant to be enjoyed. "And enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising." Then answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto the Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth, that doth rebel against thy commandment, and thou wilt hearken, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. They were supposed to be very focused on one thing at this point in their lives, in their national history. Focused on one thing. They didn't need to build cities, didn't need to build roads, didn't need to build towns, didn't need to build infrastructure. Just believe God. Put one foot in front of the other and enter in the abundance of the blessings that God has given them. Only be strong. And that's where faith comes in. That's where belief comes in. That's where laying hold of the Word of God pays off. There's going to be lots of opportunities where you need to be strong and of a good courage. I mean, the message is pretty plain. But let your confidence be in the promises and the power of God. And so they entered into the land, as we've already studied, not all in Joshua. But they entered in, and it began with the Lord parting the Jordan for them to enter in swiftly. Death is not an obstacle. Fear of death is not an obstacle. There's no talk of them dying in battle, only talk of inheritance. Only talk of inheritance. We'll stop there tonight, and then Lord willing, we'll start in Deuteronomy next week and take up our study there. Okay, well, with that, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for the exceeding great and abundant promises that are given us. Father, we just pray that we would believe wholeheartedly in your word, in your promises, in the hope that's set before us, that we would cling to that which we have and put each day one foot in front of another as we enter in to all the exceeding great and precious promises that are given us in Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, help us to be strong and of good courage and rejoice. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.